to enjoy possible. But as he gets to the latter part of chapter 1, he says there's only one thing that a Christian has to do. And that's what I want us to talk about for a few moments tonight. The only thing that a Christian has to do. One of the other aspects that Paul addresses here in the book of Philippians is Christ as our role model of humility and peace. And he also uses Christ as the example by which we are to follow after. But within the ranks of the church and within some of the fellow workers of the things that were taking place of the church at Philippi, because of this, Paul exhorts them rather to stand fast, to be of the same mind, to rejoice in the Lord always, but in everything also with prayer and supplication to be thankful to God. But in that, he said, your number one responsibility, and he says this in the very onset of Philippians chapter 1 and verse 27, where we're going to focus our attention tonight, is to let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul said, everything else is encompassed in what we're trying to accomplish as Christians. Let everything and all the things that you do be worthy of your calling as a Christian. One of the things you understand as you read through any of Paul's letters is Paul, concerning his theology, was not just a theory. It was something that he lived, it was something that he practiced, it was something that he walked. It always had a practical and personal application. Paul was always trying to apply it. When you think about him writing to the church at Corinth and some of the issues they were having and some of the ways in which they were kind of force-feeding him and calling him an apostate individual and all of these other accusations they were throwing at him, many times Paul had to use his life as an example to show them what it was to walk and live worthy of your calling. So with that, Paul is going to exhort the brethren here, there's only one thing you have to do. Of all of the things I'm instructing you to do, is to walk worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so in that, when you think about what our responsibility is as a Christian, in Philippians chapter 1, verses 27 through 30, Paul wants his readers to know and understand what he had written would impact their lives and motivate them to continue in this walk that they call Christianity. Because when you understand this, Christianity in the church was still new and it was still in its infancy. So with this, this is relatively a new way of life in that he's writing to the brethren here at Philippi, of which he's very grateful for, of which he encourages constantly, of which he knows they've done wonderful things for him in supporting him in his time of need, but he also understands there's some factions and some things taking place. So he said, in all of this, be worthy of your title as Christian. Is Christianity or the title of Christian, is that just something that we put on when we walk in the door? No, it's not. It's something that we wear 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You don't take it off and hang it up in the closet Sunday evening when you get home. So Paul said, with that, you're going to walk worthy of the gospel of Christ. By that, that's the standard. That's your rule. That's by which you're going to judge and do everything in your life is going to be based upon this gradient that you're going to call yourself a Christian. Here's the standard by which you're going to walk. He said, it's the entire gospel of Jesus Christ. Does that mean it's difficult to live up to? Sometimes we think so. But does that mean it's impossible to live up to? The answer is no. The first thing that Paul says in verse 27, he says, to bring honor to your citizenship. And so when he says to walk worthy of your calling in the gospel of Jesus Christ, to bring honor to the name of Christian, because with that you are bearing the name of Christ, are we not? And because we bear the name of Christ, because people see who we are as individual Christians, we reflect the Lord's church. We talked about this a few weeks ago concerning what it means to be the church of Christ when sometimes people want to put that name on us. But again, are we not the church of Christ, of which Jesus Christ is the head, Ephesians chapter 5? Yes, we are. But with that, Paul says to bring honor to this. And I think about Paul's admonition to the Philippians to conduct themselves as citizens of the kingdom of heaven. Because with that, people are watching. That brings to mind several years ago when I went to Jamaica to do some mission work down in Port Antonio. And I brought 7 or 8 people with me, if I remember correctly. And we were going to be down there for a 2-week campaign, door knocking and doing Bible studies. And I was preaching in the gospel meeting down there. And everyone did great except just 1 or 2 that complained constantly. They complained about the food. They complained about the weather. They complained there was no hot water in the hotel that we were staying in. They complained about the time in which the Jamaicans would come to service sometimes. You see, they didn't do it the way we did it here in the States, so therefore they were upset about that. So they complained constantly, and the other brethren at the church there at Port Antonio picked up on this, and I felt bad for them because here were individuals that were supposed to be representing the congregation in the church of which I was coming from and putting a bad name on us as Christians. I said, we're coming to their house. We're guests in their house. Act like one. But unfortunately, that put a bad connotation and put a bad taste in their mouth towards us as individuals coming down them to help them preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they're looking at these individuals as their brethren in Christ. So Paul says, in all of this, your conduct determines who you belong to. I told you this when I was in the Marine Corps. We were told constantly, you represent the military 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Not just when you come on base and you're wearing a uniform, all of the time. Why? Because you represent something bigger than yourself. So Paul says in all of this, let your conduct be worthy of the gospel. So as we go through life, we have decisions to make and problems to solve. And we do and base all of those decisions on who we are as God's children, do we not? Yes. Because God is the standard by which we're directing ourselves. The gospel of Jesus Christ, the word, the faith by which we're living, is what is the guiding principle in our lives. That's the light, right? When you look at Psalm 119 and verse 105, the word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It's guiding my direction. So I have to be worthy of that which is leading me towards the direction of heaven. So Paul said, in all of these things, bring honor to your citizenship. Your conduct is going to matter. You think about what Micah wrote. From time to time, scriptures or statements in scriptures are made to summarize a child of God's responsibility. They don't tell everything exactly that we have to do in minute detail sometimes. But in that, when you think about what Micah writes in Micah 6:8, Micah said, "And what does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly for God?" So does that negate all of the other 600 somewhat commandments that the rabbis had pulled out of the law of Moses that they don't have to follow? No. Jesus giving the same conduct and the same idea when he said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength." This is the greatest commandment, and the second of that is to love your neighbor as you love yourself. Does that negate everything else that we see concerning the gospel of Jesus Christ that we leave out because it's not specifically mentioned in that verse? No. But we know contained in all of the gospel of Jesus Christ is the conduct by which we walk and how we follow and walk after that, which what Paul is telling the church at Philippi here to do. Be worthy of that. So can we tell ourselves, or when we look in the mirror, can we say that we're worthy of that calling of which we're walking after? Because believe it or not, when people in the world see us as God's children, they're not looking at this. They're looking at you. They're looking at me. So the way that we conduct ourselves sometimes determines the way somebody's going to come to Christ. You've all heard the adage, I would rather see a sermon than hear a sermon any day, right? That's what Paul is saying here. Let people see your conduct as one of God's children and bring honor to the citizenship of which you belong. That is, we don't want to defame or deface the idea of what Christianity is. So Jesus himself is also saying, look, these are the greatest commandments, but in the context of all of this, everything else is also applying here. Jesus' words summarized all of his commandments regarding one's relationship with God, but also with man. When you look at the latter part of verse 27, Paul is emphasizing the idea of unity. So not only do we have to walk worthy of our calling as one of God's children, individually, but to be united in that front and in that stand, because the world is also looking and judging the church. So the church as a whole, together, is also presenting the idea of what it means to be in the body of Christ. And the way that the world is going to look at us, if we have infighting and all of these other things when people come into the body, does that reflect well on the household of God? No, it doesn't. But in the latter part of verse 27, Paul says, whether I come and see you or I am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. This concept wasn't new for Paul. It was something that he talked about. When you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10, at the onset of all of this discord of Paul writing to this the difficulties of the church that were taking place in Corinth, he said that you'd be of the same mind and of the same judgment, of one mind and one accord. So throughout all of this, throughout all of the troubles, Paul said, you can have problems, but you need to be together in it. You need to be united. You need to stand fast with each other. Because with that, you're walking worthy of the calling of Jesus Christ, and you better be united as one in Christ. Because we are the body of Christ, of which Jesus Christ is the head. Just as we talked about in our Bible class this morning, that Ken said, Christ is the head of that body. And because He's the head, He was willing to give Himself for the body. Therefore, should we not be united in that one thing that Paul is talking about here? Sure. Unity is extremely important. It fulfills the requirements of unity that God talks about. But sometimes it's easier to talk about those things than do them, is it not? Yes, it is. It's easy for us to stand on the preface of unity, but when it comes down to swallowing our pride and being united and getting over the difficulties sometimes that we face in life, that's a whole different picture. Preacher, I'll say amen to unity all day long, but don't ask me to be unified in what you want me to do. So when you think about that aspect, does God want simply lip service? Anytime in the Bible, God says, I don't want your lip service, I want your heart. I don't want your lip service, I want your action. So Paul said, you better walk worthy of the citizenship by which you're being called, because you have my name stamped on you. And with that, you better be united in that calling and that cause, because the world is looking at you as my body and my people. Don't deface my name. I remember one of the biggest things my father taught me growing up, when you shake a man's hand and you tell him your name, you're telling him in your name for a purpose, because you're putting your name out there. So when you give a man your word, you're telling him by your name, you can stand on that name. So you don't want to deface or defame that name. And that's what Paul is talking about here. No matter what the world may do, no matter what the world may say, we have to be unmovable as God's children, steadfast, united in that calling that we call the faith or the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's a battleground when you think about it. Paul talks about the faith of the gospel, and that's exactly what it is. The faith is the word of God, which is constantly under attack because we simply bear the title of Christian. The world doesn't agree with what we believe. The world doesn't want to have a standard by which they stand upon. They don't want to follow after what we call the one word and the one true word of God because they don't think this is inspired. So let me ask you this question then. To be united, to be steadfast in a world that says this means absolutely nothing, then how do you get your point across? You see, you can open up this Word of God all day long with somebody who doesn't believe in God. This means absolutely nothing to them. But your conduct does. How you walk shows who you are. How you present yourself shows who God is. Because the world has no standards. They have nothing by which they follow. They have nothing they can fall back on or fall back to. But we always go back to the one true Word of God, right? Yes. Because it's the standard, right? It's the SOP, the standard operating procedure that guides us in our life. Again, it's not a checklist. It's not something we wake up with every morning and go, all right, number one is to go to this particular book and read this particular verse, and therefore I checked off that block. No. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. That's where it goes, right? You know, I've heard people say, you know, we carry the Bible under our arm, we carry it in our pockets, we put it on our phone, but the most important place that it needs to be is here. Because that's where people are going to see it the most. That's what we reflect as God's children. There are those who despise it, those who demean it, those who deny it, and those who want to destroy it. But in this, Paul says you have to be united. You and I must be willing to live it, to declare it, to defend it, and even to die for it, Revelation 2:10. So Paul said, in the unity of all of these things, in walking worthy of your calling, as your inheritance is being given to you, we must be ready to earnestly contend for the faith, Jude 3. So how do we then as pilgrims live? That's the latter part of what Paul is talking about here. Look at verses 28 through 30. Paul said, and not in any way terrified by your adversaries, which is to them a proof of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that from God. For to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in Him, but also to suffer for His sake, and having the same conflict which you saw in me, and now here is in me. Paul said, you're going to be persecuted because you're a Christian. I don't want you to raise your hand, but let me ask you this. Have you ever been persecuted because you're a Christian? Have you ever been discriminated against? Have you ever been railed against? Talked differently to because you are contending for the faith because you believe something different? Maybe so. I can say I have. Or how attitudes change as soon as people hear what I do. It's amazing sometimes. I'm always really careful when I sit in the barber's chair, though, when people ask me what I do. And I say I'm a minister, and then they get quiet. But it's interesting how attitudes change when you bring up the word Christian. Because of the connotation that it brings today, unfortunately, in most cases it's negative. Not from our doing, but from the world's doing. The world believes that we walk around with this sadistic type attitude that we don't like anybody. But that's not the case. At least it shouldn't be the case. And how we're walking worthy of our calling, of the gospel of Jesus Christ, of which Jesus Christ died for, of which He gave us the example of how He interacted and dealt with individuals. We too have to follow after His step because we bear the name of Christ and our title of being Christians. So Paul said, walk worthy of your calling. It's an important calling. Be unified in everything that you do as a body of Christ because I'm the head of that and my name is on it. So don't you deface it or defame it. And with that, be ready to suffer persecution because of it. Paul says in verse 27, to be unique in your personality. In effect, Paul was saying, you know how to conduct yourselves as Roman citizens. But more importantly, now conduct yourselves as unique citizens of the kingdom of God. Unique. Aren't we called to be unique? Isn't that what Peter said? We're a royal priesthood, a peculiar people, unique in how we conduct and how we walk in this world. Yeah, sure we are. So Paul is telling them to be unwavering in principle, always abounding. Remember what Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 6, to put on the whole armor of God as we present ourselves? This is able to save us. It's able to protect us. But that's not it. We have everything in the way in which we walk as a complete walk of faith. Suffering is not proof that one is approved of God, but if you suffer because you're a Christian, you must be doing something right. So Paul said you've got to be ready to suffer. If you suffer for that, it's okay. And Paul gives us comfort in Romans 8 and verse 31. He said, if God is for us, then nobody can be against us. He didn't even spare His own Son in giving up the promises. He said, if I spared not my own Son, I'm also going to give you those things freely also too. And as you look at the latter part of Romans chapter 8, nothing is going to separate you from God, no matter how life gets, no matter how much mankind puts upon you. You stay united in your cause and stay steadfast and walk worthy of your calling, and God is always going to be with you. And sometimes that's difficult for us to comprehend. Paul wrote in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 12 that all who live godly in Christ Jesus are going to be persecuted. So if you suffer for righteousness, then obviously you're in good company. Paul wants his readers to be united in attitude and one spirit. Paul wanted them to also be united in attention with one mind. And he also wanted them to be united in action, that is, striving together. So we are in this together. Though we stand before God individually on the day of judgment, we are one family striving to be unified in the body of Christ, to walk worthy of our calling, and to not bring shame on it. And how we present it to the world is how we walk worthy of that calling. So how's your walk tonight? Is it a little wobbly? Do you need to fix it? Is it not worthy of the calling of the gospel of Jesus Christ? I think all of us can say that we've been there at one point. Sure. But with that, God is willing to pull us back and help us to continue on our way. But we've got to be willing to make that step and that effort. Paul said, I'm thankful for all the brethren at Philippi and what they did for me. But Paul also knew there were some problems. And with that, he writes this thank you note and this letter of encouragement to lift them up and to say, we're in this fight together. We can do this thing together. No matter what's rallying against us, we can stand united together in Christ and walk worthy of the name of Christian. So tonight, you can walk worthy of that exact name if you're not part of that family, of which Jesus Christ is the head. And so if you want to make that commitment tonight, and I will tell you, it's a big commitment. It's the biggest commitment you will ever make in your life. Because with that, you're telling God that you're going to take His Son's name and walk worthy with it that the world might see who you are. It's a lot of responsibility. It's not something to be taken lightly. You're giving an oath to God that you're willing to take that name with you wherever you go. Often we sing the song, "Take the name of Jesus with you." It's exactly what Paul is talking about here. Walk worthy of that calling of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So tonight, if you're ready to make that commitment, if you're ready to take that step, if you're ready to repent of your sins, Jesus said, unless you do this, you cannot inherit the kingdom of God. If you're ready to confess the name of Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and if you're ready to put Him on in baptism tonight, Acts 2:38, then you're ready to make that commitment, of which God is ready to give it to you. And if you're here tonight and you're struggling in your commitment to God and how you're walking, whatever the case is, or if you just need encouragement, we want to know so we can help you, that we might be unified together in this thing that we call life, and that we can continue to support each other. So if you need anything, please let us know as together we stand and as we sing.